One of the first tasks of the church after our Lord ascended into heaven, and how the leaders of the church spent much of the first centuries of the church's history, was the task of discerning what writings were truly the inspired word of God and compiling for us what we now call the Bible, the canon of those texts that the Holy Spirit himself inspired as the word of God that teaches us all about salvation history. And so the church has always cherished the gift of sacred scripture precisely as that, as the very word of God given to us as a gift to teach us, to form and shape us. And so over the centuries also, the church has learned how to interpret and understand what we read in the Bible really along two parallel tracks. We first understand and interpret the literal meaning of the scriptures, the precise events that they recount for us in history and the teachings of the prophets, and then in the fullness of time of our Lord himself. And then right along with that, the church has learned also to understand a deeper spiritual or mystical sense of scripture, revealing to us even more profound and deep hidden things of God. So I'd like today to look a little bit at this gospel passage before us, first on that literal level, and then to have a look at one way to understand it on an even deeper spiritual or mystical way. So literally, our Lord, it seems clear, is teaching us today about wealth. The last line of the gospel, "You cannot serve God and mammon," summarizes this for us. Mammon, we could substitute the word money or wealth. And our Lord is teaching us the proper use of wealth, that it is not in and of itself evil. There's nothing wrong with private property. The church's social teaching even considers that a right that we have as human beings, the right to private property. But wealth always must take a second place to God. It cannot become an idol, a false god, that we serve in place of the true and living God. And that means that we're called to use our wealth for holy purposes, as God intends, to care for our own needs, certainly, to provide what we need as far as food and drink and shelter and health, education, but also to use our wealth to help others, not to neglect those who have not been blessed as we have, to care for the needs also of the poor and the vulnerable. And also, our Lord warns us against attachment to wealth, again, putting it ahead of God, becoming so attached to wealth that our whole purpose and meaning in life is all about accumulating more and more wealth. He warns us about that because as good and comfortable as wealth may make our life on earth, it is bound to pass away. It is not eternal. And if we place all of our hope in the good things of this world, then we become rather poor in things that are eternal. One practice that the church encourages to help us in this task of keeping wealth in its proper place is the practice of tithing. The encouragement to take 10% of everything that we make and return it to God in gratitude. It's often said that a good way to do that is to contribute 5% to our parish community and 5% to other charities that care for the vulnerable and the poor and who do good works in the world. Because you see, that practice of tithing helps us remain detached and is a regular reminder of how to use properly the good things that we have, not only for ourselves, but for the good of others. So there are many details that we could talk about in the gospel today, but in a broad way, that's the literal meaning that our Lord desires to draw from his teaching today. But then there's also a deep spiritual understanding, especially of this parable he tells about the unrighteous steward that we can look at. This unrighteous steward, in this mystical interpretation of the gospel, is symbolizing the devil, the evil one, the one who, in a certain sense, has dominion in this world, especially in the fallenness and sinfulness of our world. But like this unrighteous steward whose stewardship is coming to an end, so is the devil's dominion nearing its end. Our Lord on the cross and in his resurrection has won the victory over sin and death and given us that sure promise that the days of evil are numbered. And so like this unrighteous steward, the devil, seeing that his dominion is coming to an end, is very concerned with making friends with all kinds of people by deceiving them, making these shady deals, because he knows that although he cannot conquer God, he can draw away from God many souls. And so he's hard at work, like this unrighteous steward, trying to make friends through deception, to draw people away. He's using these wicked tactics. And we are called to be on our guard against that. To ask, do I apply myself as zealously to eternal things as I do to temporal things? Am I more zealous about my salvation than the devil is about my condemnation? It's interesting, actually, in the gospel, this unrighteous steward is commended in a certain sense because he acts with what the gospel calls prudence. He's cunning. He's wise. And while our Lord is not condoning his wicked tactics, he's calling us to see our need to be that just as prudent, just as zealous, just as wise in striving for things that matter eternally. Imagine what our lives would be like if we applied ourselves so zealously to pursuit of holiness and virtue. Charity. Today, our Lord teaches us in this gospel to keep everything in its proper order and place, to use everything that we have for holy and good purposes according to the will of God, and to commit ourselves to striving for what is eternal. Let's ask him for the grace then to heed this teaching of his, to live it in our lives, so that we will have the grace to experience its reward in the eternal life of heaven. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.